read it again here tonight.
I ought to have it memorized by now. Why don't you stand with me just one last time? We'll read a section of it. We'll read the same section that we read at our house this afternoon, beginning in verse 18 to the end of the chapter. Hang on. My eye. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. I'll read with you. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, Lord, as we look at this part of the Christmas message tonight, I pray that, Lord, that you would show us something or remind us of something again this evening, that it might be a help to somebody or somebody's, and may you work in our life and help us to understand the truth and the principle here in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I've read this story now, this section of this story, three times today. I suppose over the past month you've heard this story read several times, but I will say this, it ought never to bore us. It ought to just never get boring to hear the Christmas story, to sing the Christmas songs over and over again. It's really only part of the story. Matthew chapter 2 continues the story. Luke's gospel goes on into it. The Old Testament references mention it. You see it on the television programs. There's plays, there's pageants, there's cantatas. There's everything. Now, in this particular story, the cast really is kind of lengthy. There's Herod, if you remember the whole story. There's the wise men. There's the innkeeper. There's an angel. There's Mary and Joseph. Of course, baby Jesus at this time, the Holy Spirit of God, a star, shepherds, there's some animals, and there's the parents of John the Baptist. So this is the cast for this story. As you look at this story, you find two people that we read about here in chapter 1 of Matthew that are engaged to get married. Now, I had mentioned some of this in Sunday school this morning, but not everybody's in my class here. The Jews had an espousal period or a betrothal period, like our engagement period, before a couple would marry. In a Jewish wedding, the groom would leave his house. He'd go to the bride's house. He wouldn't go there just to see the girl, but he'd go there to negotiate with the lady's dad the price to be paid to secure the bride to be. That was called the dowry, so he would pay the dowry. Once he paid the price, the two were regarded as being engaged, or they were in an espousal period or a betrothal period. The bride then was declared to be set apart exclusively for the bridegroom. Now, some of that, and I hope that part we still practice today, that once two people are engaged, that they are consider themselves set apart for the person they're about to marry. Now, I have heard of, I'm glad my wife and I didn't have this policy, by the way, but I've heard of people that will say, well, we're not married yet, we're just engaged, so if I want to go out with somebody else, I can. Well, that's just stupid. You know, but anyway, that wasn't the way that it was in the Jewish. Once a couple was engaged or betrothed, they were considered set apart for each other. They also said their vows at the engagement period. I mentioned in Sunday school this morning, we don't say our vows at the engagement period. We wait till the wedding ceremony to say our vows. But the very moment that this covenant was made, the bride and groom, then they drank from a cup, and that was like a betrothal benediction, and that had right after that benediction had been pronounced, to symbolize that the relationship had been established. After the relationship was established, the groom went home. He remained home for a year. He was separated for the lady that he's engaged with for the most part for that whole year. During that time of separation, he would prepare a home for them. She would prepare her wardrobe for married life. And during this time, there was no physical contact between the guy and the girl that were engaged, as it should be, that there should be no physical contact sexually between a man and a woman before they're married. Anyway, this is the period of time that Mary and Joseph are in. They're engaged. Evidently, there was something about her that Joseph found favorable. He paid the dowry. He desired to spend the rest of his life with her. She decided that she'd like to spend the rest of her life with him. And they were preparing for a life together. And then something happened. And Mary and Joseph, they had their life like all planned out. They're making preparations to get married and to go forward. Now, this is their plan. But did you ever come up with a plan that, I don't know, blew up in your face once in a while, maybe? Well, that's kind of what happens in this particular story. This was their plan that they had, but it wasn't really God's plan. So, let me make three things concerning God's plan in relation sometimes to our plan. The first one is this. It's kind of obvious. God's plan is often different than our plan. It's not always, this wasn't, I can tell you right now, this was not what Mary and Joseph planned. This is what God planned. Now, ever have something happen in your life where you say, maybe to God, something like this, what is up with this? What's going on here? If you haven't been there, there's a good chance that one of these days you're going to get there. After they got engaged, verse 18 said, before they had come together, she's with child. She was pregnant. I can tell you that is not what she had in mind. I can tell you that is not what Joseph had in mind. They had their lives all planned out. And now this. It was different than what they had anticipated. And by the way, this is not something you can keep a secret. After a while, it's going to become a little bit obvious. So then, Joseph gets the news that Mary is with child. I wonder what's going through his mind. He didn't expect this. This was different than he expected. This isn't something that he was prepared for. I can just about hear him saying, you know, I've got all this planned out, and now this. And probably right after that, he thought, and now what? Many times God's plan for our lives is different than we think or what we want or what our fleshly desires even desire. It's part of living by faith. It's something that God does once in a while. It teaches us to trust Him and to yield to God's will. The Bible tells us that the just live by faith. And so that's kind of where Mary and Joseph are. When things happen in my life or when things happen in your life that you have no control over, and things happen that way, do you accept that as from the Lord? Or if it's different than what you want or different than what you planned or different than what you thought, do you get mad at God? Do you get mad at life and say, I didn't want this. This wasn't for me. This isn't fair. You know all those lines that go there. Often God has different plans for our lives than we do. They are different because God knows best. Now, we ought not to plan our life so strictly that God couldn't even change them. Now, I've heard of stories of children that surrendered to go to a mission field. I've heard probably three or four of them in my life. And that's not what their parents wanted. Their parents didn't raise their kids up, they thought. And even though earlier in life they had dedicated them to the Lord, but they didn't raise their kids up to go off to some mission field somewhere around the world. This isn't what we want. We didn't want our kids gone and then our grandkids gone. That's not what we wanted. And then they've even discouraged their kids from going to the mission field. We need to be open to the will of God for our lives. It was different. And secondly, it was difficult. Now, in chapter 1, turn a page if you have to in your Bible. That can't be right. I don't even know what verse I want. Maybe verse, Luke chapter 1 and verse 29. Got to be Luke. Can't be Matthew because there isn't one. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She was troubled. Well, listen, if an angel appeared to you and said you're going to have a baby, you'd be a little bit troubled too, especially since you knew you weren't with anybody. Now, you're engaged, and now you're pregnant. You know you've never been physically involved with a man, and I would have had to think, this thought went through her mind, what in the world is Joseph going to think? That is difficult. Joseph gets the news back in Matthew chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. You got to remember, Joseph knew he'd never touched her. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, he knew he had never touched her, and yet she's with child. Now, if he's a normal person, I'm sure there were certain things going through his mind. What is she doing? What is up with this? And this wild story of an angel appearing unto her, I mean, he could have taken her before the elders of the town and had her condemned publicly. What would they have done? They would have taken her outside of the city and they would have stoned her. And he had every legal right and he had the authority and the power to do that. But for him to do that, he would have had to cast the first stone. And I don't think that Joseph wanted to cast that first stone. I don't think he was ready for that. Now that was difficult. Now he's got a very difficult decision to make. Like, what in the world am I going to do? We've been there. What am I going to do? And then the angel appears to him. In verse 20, it says, while he was thinking on these things, while he's thinking what he ought to do, what should I do? Mary begins to show. Her belly begins to pop out a little bit. Let me ask you something. Do you think there was any whisperers around town? You know people. You know what people are saying. Do you think that there were some who doubted the story of the angels? I'm thinking there are several people that, okay, this is an interesting story. Perhaps, maybe a little gossip, maybe. Yeah, she said her and Joseph had never been together, but it's obviously we know what's going on there, you know. Because to be honest, it is a wild story from a human standpoint. It's nothing like this has ever happened before. Anyway, it was difficult to live with all of this. But the angel comes to Joseph and mentions what he does. Verse 24 says, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. And so they got married. He is obedient, but I'm sure people talked about him. Those two are messing around. That would have been one crowd. Another crowd probably said, what an idiot, taking this woman to marry him. She's been unfaithful. They're not even married yet. What do you think she's going to be like when they get married? Another crowd might say, you know, love is just stupid. I mean, look at these guys. Look what these two are doing. People looked around. People talked. It was difficult. You know, sometimes the will of God is difficult, or it involves difficult circumstances. Many say, this is too hard. I can't do this. I'd like to have it easier, an easy place in life. That's what I want. Yet sometimes God's will for you or for me is difficult, or it involves difficulty at least. The age-old question is, why do bad things happen to good people? And the age-old example of that is Job. But did you ever think about why do bad things happen to good people? Well, the first one is kind of obvious, I think. Sometimes it's to punish us. Hebrews chapter 12 actually uses the word chasten, verses 5 through 8. But if you're involved in sin, and the sin could be a reason that God chastens you. So sometimes that's the reason. But sometimes it's not to chasten us or to punish us. Sometimes it's to purify us. Go to Jeremiah chapter 18. Peter called it the fiery trial of our faith. Malachi referred to it as the refiner's fire. In Jeremiah chapter 18, in verse 4, the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. Sometimes God wants to remake us. Sometimes he's purifying us. Why does he want to purify us? So he can see his reflection in us. That's why he wants to purify us. He wants to see in me, he wants to see himself. The hymn says, when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. So sometimes it's to purify us. Sometimes it's to prepare us for what lies ahead. And you know what lies ahead? I don't know. You don't know either. We don't know what lies ahead. Most of us really don't. If we did, we'd probably be scared to death. So we're not sure. We don't know. So sometimes God allows difficult things into our life to prepare us for what's ahead of us. Fourthly, sometimes he does it to push us. Now, in the book of Acts, when persecution came to the early church, did it hurt the church or help the church? Ultimately. And ultimately, it helped the church. God pushed them. Sometimes God puts difficult circumstances in our life to push us. And I think, lastly, sometimes God does it to puzzle us. There's times when we just don't know why. We don't have a clue. He wants us then to trust him when we don't understand. Sometimes it's difficult. Thank the Lord that Joseph was obedient. He didn't put her away publicly. He could have put her away privately. He didn't do that either. He thought about it, and he decided, after listening to the angel, he was obedient. He decided to keep her, and he married her. Now, was it different than those two expected? Oh, yeah. Was it a difficult circumstance that they found themselves in life? Yep, it was. Sometimes God leads in pretty difficult and hard places. In Exodus, why don't you turn there with me? Exodus chapter 14. Moses had led Israel out of Egypt. It looked like they went the wrong way. They're surrounded. Water's on one side. The Egyptian army is on the other side. Verse 9, we'll pick up our reading. The Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside, right there, whatever it says there in verse number 9, that's where they are. And then what happens is the people doubt. Verse 12. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Well, they didn't have to die in the wilderness, even though they weren't there yet. Then it said in verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Listen, the people doubted. But when we are in a tight spot, stop and see the salvation of the Lord. Stop and see. I wonder what God's going to do here. Learn that. Learn to live by faith, because sometimes God leads us in hard and tight places, and it's difficult. Now, as our Lord grew, as Jesus grew, Mary watched two different groups of people deal with her son. One group was for him. They turned to him, they embraced him, they loved him, and they became true followers. One group was against him. From what I get, as we go through the Gospel of John, there were more against him than there were for him. That group was difficult. Then she watched as he was arrested, nailed to a cross. You think that was difficult for her? I mean, that was her son. Was it God's will? It was God's perfect will. We know that. Was it difficult? Yeah. Was it different? Yes. Let me say this lastly. But when you live in God's will, even though it's different than what you had planned and more difficult than you expected, it can be dynamic. Now, look at verse 16 in the same chapter. And this is dynamic. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, upon all of his hosts, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that they one came not near the other all the night. Now, I mean to tell you, that's something. Verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left hand. Now that's dynamic. I mean, you've never seen anything like that. I've never seen anything like that. I've never experienced anything close to that. Living in God's will might be different than we planned, and so a lot of times it is. It might be more difficult than we planned, and sometimes it is. But I can tell you it can always be dynamic, but you have to try to keep your eyes on the prize at the end of the road. Joseph, history tells us, although the scriptures don't, that Joseph was several years older than Mary, but it seems clear from scriptures that he died before she did. But I'll bet you if you asked Joseph this question, Joseph, while you were around, was it worth it? And I think he'd say something like, you know, I got the raised Son of God. It was worth it. It was worth every bit of it. Was it different than you planned? Oh, it was different than I planned. Was it difficult? Oh, it was difficult. But was it worth it? I think Joseph would have said, yeah, it was worth it. I think if you'd asked Mary, was it worth it? I think she'd have said, you know, I got to raise the Savior of the world. It was worth it. It wasn't exactly what I had in mind, but it was worth it. I would have wished we could have waited to marriage before we had a child. It would have made things a little bit easier. But they would have doubted the virgin birth anyway. So that wasn't really going to be much of an option. It was difficult. From the time I got pregnant till the day I saw him resurrected, it was difficult. But it was dynamic. And it was worth it. I had the privilege to raise the Son of God. It was tough. Difficulties. I was married. I never knew a man. There was no room in the inn when it was time for me to have my baby. My husband was a good man. He died at a young age. I watched my son abused and abused. But when I look back, I think Mary would have said it was worth it. Serving God and the will of God might be different than you want, different than you plan for, more difficult than you probably would have thought. But it can be worth it all. In the end, it will be worth it all. And it'll be dynamic. The hymn writer said, it will be, or I think it's a hymn, that says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Now, maybe God's planning some of us for some difficult things in our life. I don't know. Man, there's several young people here tonight. Maybe you need to surrender your life to the will of God's will and accept whatever he has for you, even if it's different than you planned and even more difficult than you planned. Maybe you need to accept what things come your way that you cannot control. Maybe you will just have a better attitude. The fact is, Mary she couldn't have said, well, I decided after 3 months of being pregnant, I don't want to be pregnant anymore. Well, that wasn't going to happen. Sometimes in life, some things just happen. But I will say this, I've learned this by experience. People who live for God and live a godly life, things in life have a way to work out in the end. God does that. I don't know how God does that all the time. He just does it. The first lesson, really, in the Christmas story is, it's God's will. This was all God's will. This was all God's plan. I don't even think it was easy for God. Now, I knew that Jesus was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, but as the Father to give up his Son, his only begotten Son, it may have been hard for him also. But it's what God's plan was. Different, difficult, and dynamic. Was it difficult for Mary to be God's human instrument to bring the Lamb of God into the world? Yeah, it was difficult. But was it worth it? I think in the end, if you could, maybe you'll ask her when you get to heaven. I think she just said it was well worth it. Father, as we look at this very first thing in the Christmas story, your will for Mary and Joseph. It was totally different than they planned. And it was very difficult. It was your will. And I think in the end they would have said it was just dynamic. It was unbelievable. What an opportunity we had. Sometimes in life we go through things that are different than what we plan and schedule. They're harder than we anticipate. They're more difficult than we could have imagined. And yet, Lord, it is what you want us to do. Help us to be obedient like Joseph, surrendered like Mary. And Lord, help us to follow you regardless of where you lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you know what we want?